With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissanera. The House vote that held Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt being called into question following a new report.
A lengthy report on the botched gun-running operation Fast and Furious lays blame on more than a dozen Justice Department officials, but stops short of faulting Attorney General Eric Holder. That, Democrats like Massachusetts' Stephen Lynch argue, proves a Republican contempt resolution was wrong.
Fox Radio's Jarrett Halpern.
Some Republicans hearing from the Inspector General argue the findings are too soft on Holder and other top Justice Department officials who failed to oversee the gunwalking tactics.
Colorado prosecutors changing their minds about a notebook mass shooting suspect James Holmes mailed to a psychiatrist.
Apparently, prosecutors feel that based on Holmes' own attorney's assessment of his mental health status, they'll eventually get to look at the notebook anyway, and they're tired right now of all the delays.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County in the vicinity for the evening hours, mostly cloudy. Lows overnight will fall close to 60. Then becoming partly to mostly sunny on Friday. Friday's afternoon highs will range into the middle 70s, mostly clear to partly cloudy at night. Some patchy fog, lows lower 60s. Partly sunny, chance of isolated thunderstorm during the afternoon on Saturday. Highs into the upper 70s, mostly sunny, lower 70s on Sunday. Monday's weather, plenty of sunshine, near 70. Steve Pelletieri, Jr. 20 for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
66 degrees.
After a hard day at work, you can count on us for stress relief.
Every afternoon on the drive home.
We're right here with you. VOX.
1460 WVOX.
We're back here, John Tantillo, TJ McCormick. It's Brand Talk, heard on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. We just got off a topic about the respective candidates and their brands, Brand Obama and Brand Romney, and why it's a tied, for all intents and purposes, even though some of the polls show that it's one way or the other. You know, what people don't understand is that, you know, the more polls you do, TJ, the more likely they're going to be out of range. So what that basically means...
What do you mean?
Okay. Well, if you do 100 polls, and I think there was something like 80...
Okay.
86. I was done the other day.
In one day?
In one day. Yeah. Okay. You would expect, using the 95% confidence level, which, okay, is that 5% of your polls are going to be incorrect, are going to be outside the true range of what the polls are really... what the true score of these candidates are.
So when they talk about that margin of error.
Yes. In other words, 95% are going to fall within the margin of error, but 5% are going to be outside that error. And so I think there was one poll that showed it was 10 points for Obama. I mean, this is nuts.
Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
When it comes to this stuff, you know, let me go into another realm and cut and paste something into this conversation. When I hear people in debates and they want to put up pie charts and graphs and they want to talk about taxes and people and demographic, when I hear the line, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have it on my wall, by the way.
So,
go ahead.
How much of these polls can actually really be looked at as representative of, okay, let's talk the biggest one of all right now, Ohio.
Right.
What makes a particular poll, either any particular poll, believable or non-believable, or are polls literally fairy dust and stuff for banter like this?
I remember a few years ago, Joe Slakis asked me to comment on a poll. There was a, he was involved in a campaign up here, and some newspaper, I'm not going to mention the newspaper, did a poll and showed the incumbent up by 5 points, and their tracking polls showed it was even with the challenger that Joe was working for ahead. And Joe said, would you mind talking to the reporter on this? And I said, yes. And the reporter said, well, you know, we did the polls, or we did it this way. I said, well, you know, what might have happened here is that your poll might have been random. The question is whether or not it's representative. And so representative of the population. Mm-hmm. So what all of these polls are random. And in other words, there isn't a bias. And I don't mean to say that there's a bias right. in terms of an objective bias. What happens is that it might be, they may be oversampling Republicans. They may be oversampling, generally they oversample
now
Democrats.
Now, they find that out during the polling process. In other words, yes. the call is random.
Yes.
What they then, because I was just going to say, well, yes. the other day I heard an organization admit that they had inadvertent, or whatever, not inadvertent, but that they had oversampled Democrats. And... Mm-hmm. So, okay, so they don't know going in, they will end up mining that information, and that's part of what they then lay out afterwards.
That's correct. So, and it's only after the fact, and what's, say what you want. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I mean, Karl Rove mm-hmm. is brilliant.
Right.
So what he basically did is he took the five, you know, the five top polls and compared what the polls, the representation of the polls compared to what the population mm-hmm. or the electorate was.
Right.
And the closest to it was Rasmussen.
Right.
All the others skewed right. more Democrat.
Right.
And that's really yeah. the problem. And now this, I'm going to say something. And by the way, this is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. It's Brand Talk, Tantillo McCormick. We love to hear from you, 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. You know, with these, what you can't do mm-hmm. is you can't say that the polls don't mean anything.
Right.
It's the because as a methodologist myself and someone who studied this, there is a validity to it. The only thing that you have to be a little bit careful of, and you always have to be careful of it, but now more than ever because of what I would call the toxic nature of the electorate,
uh-huh.
and that is whether or not there is a social desirability effect, uh-huh. which means that more people, when asked on the phone, will say that they're for the president
right.
than Romney because they don't want to be labeled
right.
So
yeah.
So we don't and that's by the way that's not only in this situation. This is what you study as one of the reasons for error.
Ah,
you know that's why you say mm-hmm. plus or minus three.
Yeah,
that's one of the factors.
Yeah,
the question becomes whether or not social desirability yeah. in this environment is. Something.
Yeah.
I hope we're not going.
Well,
we're not going too technical here.
Well, you know,
but that's something to consider.
And in terms of laying something out for our audience, this is how I feel. And if you agree with me or disagree with me, give us a call 914-636-0110
0110
Right.
Yeah, don't get me nervous.
0110
0110
Zero. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what you said. All right.
636-0110
Okay.
I have gotten to the point where I just simply don't believe and don't trust many of the news organizations. I'm not an anarchist. I'm not a Tea Partier. I'm not a right winger.
What are you?
I am a conservative American guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have especially what I've seen the last 2 weeks from our mainstream media, I just simply don't trust them.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean, but
the Middle East is on fire, And how much of it, how much do we hear about that?
Yeah.
And these are the people trying to tell me that Obama's up 8-12 points
no,
in Ohio?
Well, no, but see, I don't think it's, I just think that it's inadvertent. I don't think it's this conspiracy with these polls. I just think, because the news organizations are, and the polling folks, they're two different groups that they don't really talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And it's a bias,
right.
But it's a bias in terms of their methodology, not mm-hmm. something that we used to call that an artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An artifact is a function of your methodology and not really a phenomenon that's happening
uh-huh.
in the real world.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's something that's happening in the lab. It's something that's not really happening in the world.
Okay.
And that's what I think we got to be a little bit concerned about. But anyway, so
moving right along.
Along that line, yes, I'm thinking of why don't we move to our winner and loser. Now, I think you're gonna like this.
Yes.
Our winner this week is the Jolly Green Giant.
Hey-o!
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Ho-ho-ho!
Green Giant!
Yes.
And you'll be happy since you have two beautiful little girls.
Yes.
They're going to roll out General Mills, who now owns the Jolly Green Giant brand. They're going to be rolling out a new campaign that's going to target children so they can eat their vegetables, so they can become big and strong.
Oh, fabulous.
Isn't that great? I mean, that is what I remember as a kid, it didn't work with me, but... Mm-hmm. Oh, can I tell you?
Right.
Anyway, and in that same vein, thank you. Thank you very much. I learned today that Sesame Street is celebrating its 43rd birthday.
Wow.
And I remember 1969 very well. I just graduated from high school, and now you know my age. And
I just turned 1 year old. Now you know my age.
Okay. Son.
You can't curse on the air. You can't say the dirty word.
Uh-huh. Anyway. I remember in college talking about how wonderful a show I thought that was and getting kids like you. Your little nose picker. Come over here, kid. You bother me. Yes. Anyway. I just think that it's a great show. But I mention them not only because it's their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking it to the next step. They have now an interactive toy that you can give the kids, which you'll be buying, I'm sure, or I'll be buying as a gift for both of them, no matter what their age is.
Lovely.
So that they can watch the TV show and interact. And that's that's what marketing is all about.
Sure.
And not only that's what learning is going to be about.
Mm.
You know, they've done some studies now where a lot of these kids that are ADD
mm-hmm.
who cannot do the traditional teacher learning thing do very well on the computer.
Wow.
And it opens up a whole different, new, exciting, and see, as a teacher, I love that.
Isn't
any
that
way
fabulous?
To get kids excited about learning.
Sure.
And I guess that's why I stayed in academia as long as I did, because I always liked to learn.
Yeah.
I was afraid of it. It's the other nonsense that goes on.
Right.
It's your colleagues. Yeah. That's the problem. It's never the students. It was always the colleagues. But we'll go. We won't talk about that.
but we should.
Anyway. And my loser, by the way.
Yeah, who's your loser?
My loser. But let's remember, it's Tantillo and McCormick. WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. And if you have any memories of Sesame Street, give us a call at 914-636-0110. Or if you are email inclined, doc@brandtalkradio.com. And I'll lose her. And I am Mr. New York.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, New York City is the loser this week for being voted number one, the dirtiest city in America. And not by the press group, by tourists.
Mm-hmm.
This is your target market. This is terrible. This you never want to do.
Yep.
Come on here. Instead of not doing the bike lanes and closing off streets, you got to do something about the garbage, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor is becoming the antithesis of his predecessor. One of the greatest things. And look, I am a recent victim of it. You know, you talk, what do they call it? Broken window crime? What do they call it? Broken window? In other words, the whole idea is, you know, when you see a broken window in a neighborhood, if you ignore it, that's going to lead to more broken windows and people are going to have a bad attitude and a bad feeling. And it's gonna, like, kind of like pride of ownership, and bad things happen and down goes that neighborhood.
Right.
Quality of life issues.
Right.
Giuliani addressed them. He was called awful. He was called mean. Now, you know what? When Giuliani came in, granted, some of that grit was fun. I liked it. You lost some character in Times Square, but now you can eat off the street.
Right.
I got mugged on a commuter train. You know, people are getting you're hearing a lot more of this, of these quality of life issues in and around New
right.
York City.
Right.
And it's high time. If this guy wants to be president, which I think he wants to be president, I think it's about time this guy gets a little bit more law and order and stop worrying about how many flipping drinks we can buy or how big a sugary drink we can buy.
That's TJ McCormick talking about how he loves Mayor Bloomberg. 914-636-0110. This is Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And folks, this winner and loser, the reason we do this each week is so you can take away some takeaways, find out what these brands have done right and what these brands have done wrong, and what I think Jolly Green Giant has done right is they've targeted children, and they used a familiar icon and a beloved icon to get children to pay attention to eating their vegetables. And I think from the day children were born, they have been criticizing what they eat. And I know I never liked vegetables. I mean, I only started eating vegetables within the last 10 years because of I wanted to take it health. I wanted to take a health because nobody. They nagged me.
Right.
You know, but I wouldn't take the bait.
Hmm.
So
or the
anyway,
broccoli.
or the broccoli. You know, pass the broccoli. You know, I hated broccoli. Never liked broccoli.
Oh,
you know who
God.
That was? You know who
that
was?
Bush?
That was Bush.
That's your Bush. Nice.
Yeah, my mother wanted me to eat broccoli.
Oh my gosh, that sounds more like a morph of Bush and somebody else. Who is that, it?
Oh, it's me. It's a Dana Carvey doing Bush.
Oh, I get it. Your Dana Carvey doing Bush sounds like Bush and Truman Capote.
Now cut that out.
That's right.
That's right. Yes.
Plus
okay.
The Brooklyn teens.
You see, you're getting better. See, I'm only an amateur.
I worked with Dana Carvey a few times.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, he's my favorite.
Great
I love
guy.
Dana Carvey.
Very funny.
Oh, very, very. Oh, love the
Never
guy.
Did have the opportunity to work with Mr. Capote.
Very good.
But I think it's pretty good to be able to do an impression of someone as well before my generation. Go on, John.
Okay.
Don't allow me to hold you up, please.
Oh, you never do, Mr. C. Well, it's about that time, folks, where we do
yes.
TJ's favorite crowd as well as crowd pleaser. Did you know that? And did you know that is where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, did you know that?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? Being curious about the little things can make a big impact down the road. And there's nothing like travel to spark this kind of curiosity. That's what happened to one American traveler named Tom in the 1780s. I'm confident that you've literally eaten the results. You see, this man was curious about pasta, specifically the kind of pasta he encountered in Paris and northern Italy. He sketched the shape and learned all he could, including the best ways to serve it. When he returned to America, he even imported a machine to make it. The machine was a dud, but that didn't stop Tom. He worked to perfect the pasta while also adopting the European idea of baking it in a casserole with cheese. Little did he know that he was setting a trend in motion that would make macaroni and cheese the American staple it is today. With close to $1 billion in annual sales and deep roots in our culture, this dish might have started life as an import, but now it's as American as apple pie. And Tom? Well, he served it as macaroni pie in 1802 at a state dinner because Tom was Thomas Jefferson, not only a founding father, but the father of mac and cheese. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
Yes, I knew that. Now I ask for macaroni pie.
You would only ask for macaroni.
Now I ask for macaroni pie because that's what it was originally called, and I like.
And
to,
you're a classic.
I'm a
classic.
I wear my knickers and I dust my wig thusly.
Yes.
And I saunter into the local tavern and I say, innkeep, macaroni pie.
Have you ever worn knickers? I think you'd be great.
That's the best question I've ever been asked. Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
I have never worn... I did wear knickers once during the bicentennial back in 76,
uh-huh.
When the whole world and the whole country celebrated, and I was in a little parade in White Plains. I got to say, I am a fan of the looks of several eras. One being, I love the tri-cornered hat and the brass buckles on shoes. Not crazy about the knickers from that era, but it would be fun to dress like that.
Yes.
You know who I'd really like to dress like from that era would have been like the officers. The golden knickers with the beautiful blue cloak. Mm-hmm. My favorite way to dress, though, I really think, Victorian era. If I could dress like...
Not Roman, togas.
No, too much of a draft, especially in the Northeast. No, Rome is much more temperate climate. No,
feed them the grapes.
I would like to dress a bit more like Professor
Higgins.
Henry Higgins.
Higgins. I
could dress like that.
Pickering.
I could dress like a dandy.
Right.
From like the late 1800s, a little something like that with a walking stick, like a Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker.
I love dressing just the way I dress now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very, very practical. I wouldn't want to
Brooks
any other
Brothers
period.
All the way.
Yeah.
You know, Teddy Roosevelt, his formal dress uniform for the Spanish-American War was Brooks Brothers.
Yeah.
Ulysses S. Grant ordered uniforms for the Union.
Oh, don't get me started about Brooks Brothers.
I was reading all about Brooks Brothers today.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful brand. And one of these days, Claudio, we will do business. But anyway,
and inside
a little inside,
tip
of
the cap.
Yeah, we'll send this over to Claudio after the show. But anyway, the takeaway from this is that successful people share one important characteristic, and that is curiosity. And curiosity is something that you can turn you can't turn off once you have it. And it's about making the connections and finding the value in these characteristics that most people just take for granted.
Mm.
And Jefferson, I think you know, was, of course, you're a Jeffersonian in terms of your approach to
I named politics. I named my home Monticello. Go on.
Okay, Monty. He was a scientist, a diplomat, an architect, a landscape gardener, and a president. You should go to Monticello. I went there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was very
with
very,
your
sister.
That's where you found the Turkish.
That's right, the Turkish taffy. Yep. What a brain. What a mind. And
he was a landscaper?
Oh, he's
really?
Yeah. He was just an amazing
man. Did he have a
man.
Big green truck with the...
I don't think so.
Did he?
I don't think so.
Did he employ?
Yeah, he employed many
illegal
slaves.
What?
Many slaves. Yes, he
did. Did he use the gas leaf blowers? Because those are illegal.
No, no, he didn't have glass.
Did he disturb the countryside with leaf?
No. No. But anyway.
That's all inside baseball for
Westchester.
That's
all inside baseball. And that is the Did You Know That?
Macaroni pie.
Macaroni pie. All right. Well, look, I have a few things that I just want to talk a little bit about. And one is my friend Bill O'Reilly, and what a brilliant marketer this guy is. And I don't know, and he's taking a chapter out of Oprah's book when Oprah first started. And I think you're gonna see this more and more in television. Something that you and I talked about as well.
Okay.
And that is when what you want to do today, when you're promoting a TV show, a radio show, is make public appearance. Number one, you want to make public appearances so that your brand may be in the mature stage.
Okay.
And what you want to do is get that out of maturity and make it increase again.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, what you might want to do is go for a slightly different audience or expand your audience.
Okay.
And I believe what O'Reilly's doing now is doing that with Jon Stewart.
Yes.
And Jon Stewart is doing it with O'Reilly. And this is one of the things I'm going to
talk about. It's mutually beneficial.
I'm going to talk about in my presentation to the New York Press Club on Saturday, the 29th of
September. Whoa, where did that come from?
I don't know.
Look how you backdoored that in there.
But no,
oh,
really.
Oh, you're doing a presentation to the New York Press Club?
I told you this.
You did not talk about the New York Press Club.
That's because you've been busy for shticking.
No. Not before today, you didn't.
I certainly did.
No, not before today.
Yes.
The New York Press Club?
Yes.
Did you talk about that with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Yes.
And when I'm for shticking, by the way, I'm promoting the show.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to get people to watch. I'm trying to get people to, you know.
Okay, no, look, yes, we did talk about that. As a matter of fact, you thought it was very impressive. And anyway,
forgive me.
But
I'm having
okay.
Very short time.
That's all right.
I have a 9-month-old at home. My memory is.
I got it. But the point I'm making.
Plus,
you want to hear some more?
Sure. I'm drinking again, okay. John. That's what.
All right. They're asking me to talk about how to get your name and your work known. That's what I'm going to be. I'm on a panel.
They're asking the right guy.
And I think I have a little experience in this.
You know. I thought you said you were speaking at NYU.
Yeah, but see, yes, I was speaking, but the group is the New York Press
Club.
See,
now you may not have actually, you may not have said that.
Maybe I didn't.
See, NYU I got.
But you could have been vishtiki.
I could have been vishtiki
because you didn't hear it. But New York Press. New York Press. It's yeah. You should come down. And as I mentioned earlier, your best friend of the world, Tom Brokaw, is getting an award.
Right.
I said that in the beginning of the show.
I know that.
Okay.
I just.
Okay. And as a matter of fact, when I invited you, now cut that out.
The guy.
And when I invited you, you said, no, Saturdays are impossible for me. I can't make it.
Absolutely.
So that's why you just completely dissed me.
That's probably what it was.
Okay. But anyway, Jon Stewart, O'Reilly coming together. And, you know, he also does these promotions with his Bold Fresh Tour. He goes around. And that's very, very... And that's what Oprah used to do.
Right.
You know how Oprah...
Uh-oh.
Well, Oprah...
Next time.
Well, no.
Okay.
Oprah increased her audience by going and making personal appearances. So there. Okay. Now, where is the ending? Oh, here it is. And that's our show, folks. Listen to Brand Talk every Thursday from 5 to 6. And remember, the difference between success and failure is never giving up. See you next week.
This is 1460 WVOX in New Rochelle. Time right now, 6 o'clock.